It's good to have you back as always. Hey, your overall thoughts on the start to the season for the San Jose Sharks?
I would say, in a nutshell, inconsistent. That's kind of been the trend. Difficult start to the year schedule-wise. The Sharks played 16 of their first 21 games on the road. They've already been on two fairly extensive Eastern road trips. They just came off a seven-game road trip. So it's been really challenging from that standpoint to get a true read on the team because of such a skewed split between games home and away. And now that they are home, in the midst of a six-game homestand, they lost two shootout games in a row to start the homestand. So, you know, you look for them to try and settle into more of a rhythm, if you will, and maybe get a better read on what they truly are as a group once they start playing at home. But they still haven't picked up that home win that they need yet. So they're obviously really focused on this tonight to try and get themselves a 2-point win and just get some confidence as a group back.
Randy, it seems like the hockey world is buzzing about the future of Todd McClellan. And I don't know how accurate the rumors are. And you know, we hear rumors all the time. But, you know, you're a guy who works around and works with McClellan all the time and have for the 6-plus years he's been the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. I'm curious, knowing what you know about him and seeing what you've seen from his teams, just your overall reaction to the scuttlebutt, the rumors, and all the buzz about his future with the Sharks.
Well, I mean, anytime you have a team that's going through a struggle, and let's face it, what the Sharks came off of in the playoffs last year was historic in a bad way. I mean, they blew a 3-0 lead to L.A. and lost the series. And there are always going to be ramifications after every year that doesn't end up with a cup parade for every team. But when you go through something as catastrophic as an organization as something like that, then there's going to be a focus on the group that's never been quite that way before, and that includes the coaching staff. And right now the Sharks are struggling. They're struggling to, I don't even know if it's regain their identity as much as it is to find the identity of a group that's different. There's no Dan Boyle. There's no Brad Stewart.
Yeah.
There's no captain. So you have a different dynamic here, and I think because of the travel, and some injury situations that have affected the group, they haven't quite been able to find themselves as a group yet. And that's always going to come back to a coaching staff in that regard as well. But, you know, they are rumors, and there's always going to be rumors about coaches. And all I can say is that in my experience, being around Todd McClellan and Larry Robinson, you know, and Jim Johnson and Jay Woodcroft, this is as good a coaching staff as you're going to find in this league. And it would certainly be a disappointment if they ended up being the fall guy for what's happening so far.
I guess it really is just a comment about a team under pressure and with high expectations, right?
Well, sure. And, you know, the thing about this franchise, if you – right now San Jose's got 24 points, 10-9-4. Let's say they were, you know, 15-3-4. People would still – give you one response, and that would be talk to me in April, because this franchise is going to be measured by what it does in the playoffs. They've been to the postseason 10 years in a row. They've been the darling cup pick of many a journalist in the NHL over the years, and they haven't gotten there. And last year, as we just talked about, they suffered the ultimate blow of blowing that 3-0 lead against the Kings. So you know, it's an interesting, I don't know if it's a dilemma so much, or maybe it's an opportunity for this team, but they are going to be measured when it comes playoff time. Now, you have to be careful not to just take for granted that you're going to be in the playoffs. And now I think, you know, we're seeing with the competitiveness of the West going into this season and the resurgence of teams like the Flames and the Canucks, and even Winnipeg, and, you know, Minnesota was in the playoffs last year, but it's an even tougher conference now, and the Sharks are one of the teams that are finding that out. They're not able to be in the top three in the division right now, so they can't think in terms of, well, we got to get it done in the playoffs. They got to get there.
Fair enough. With Randy Hahn, the television play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks here on Hockey Central Ladue. Randy, fourth in the league in shots for, and that's something that we're used to. This is a Sharks team that is always able to generate a lot of offensive zone time and get those shots on net, yet only 18th in terms of goals for. So how come that time in the offensive zone isn't translating into more goals for this team?
Yeah, I wish I knew that. I would tell it to Todd McClellan, and we wouldn't have had the prior question. You know, it's been frustrating to get to three goals for this team. And then when they finally got to three the other night here, they lost in a shootout. They went through a stretch on that last road trip and then the first home game back where they went seven straight games scoring two or less goals. They won a game 2-0 in Carolina when Troy Grosnick had that 45-save shutout. And you think about that, he had to make 45 saves for them to win that game. So they didn't play particularly well that game, but he happened to be fortunately the best player on the ice that day, and they were able to come up with a win. You know, there's been a couple of guys who just have struggled. Matt Nieto, a young player, and only his second year in the NHL, had a nice rookie year. But for the most part, he's been playing in the top six group, and tonight will play on Logan Couture's line. He scored in the first goal game of the year, which was a shutout win in L.A. the night they raised the banner, and he hasn't scored since. So he's sitting on one goal. Tomáš Hertl, who's coming off the knee surgery last year after that great start he had, he's got four goals, and he's playing with Joe Thornton. Mm-hmm. Patrick Marleau recently went through a stretch where he had one goal in a stretch of 14 games, and that was a power play goal, no even strength goal. So players like Marleau, who you're used to getting 30-plus goals a year out of, haven't been on pace. And then some young guys who you're hoping step to the forefront and continue what we're promising rookie years haven't quite been able to have that success so far. And then you miss a player like Dan Boyle, who ran your power play. And Brent Burns has been in a more prominent role defensively. And he's actually not been a problem offensively, or, you know, he's generated a lot of those shots. And he has 19 points and seven goals. So he's been getting it done from the blue line. But they've lacked not just secondary scoring, but some of that primary scoring that you need from the wings on those top two lines.
Well, and you mentioned the name of Tomáš Hertl, and such a good start to his rookie campaign last year, had the points, he was scoring highlight reel goals, and then the knee injury. I wonder, how much did that kind of stunt his development and kind of make this year almost a reset in that development?
I think you might be right to some degree, although I wouldn't write his whole year off 23 games into the season. But I think, you know, he did come back for the playoffs last year, so he got back on the ice. But I think, you know, when you're a young player and you suffer a fairly devastating knee injury like he suffered on that hit from Dustin Brown, knee on knee, you know, it shakes your confidence. It shakes you to the core. He'd never been hurt like that before. He'd never had surgery before. All these things happening to you after that incredible start to his career where, you know, in all honesty, the way he looked at the beginning of the year and then the way we saw Nathan MacKinnon go the rest of the way, I really think it would have been a two-player race down to the wire to see who would have won the Calder last year if Hertl would have stayed healthy, because he just showed that much promise and had that much chemistry on Joe Thornton's line. So I think he's going through that. I think it probably affected his training in the summer, his ability to push himself to the level to not only recapture what he had in his rookie year, but hopefully to become an even better player in his sophomore year. So I think all of that was affected, and the level of confidence was affected. And I do agree with you that I think there's kind of he's in a little bit of a reset mode here right now.
Just a few more with Randy Hahn, the television play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks. Sharks and Flames tonight at 8:30 at the SAP Center in San Jose. Your impressions of the acquisition that the Sharks made last week, bringing Brendan Dillon in from Dallas in exchange for a third-round pick and Jason Demers. I guess, how much did that catch you off guard?
You know, not that much. I think Jason Demers needed a change of scenery. He's an excellent player, and there seemed to be a regression last year when he had a career year. And there just didn't seem to be the, never mind, progress that you're hoping for. His game dropped. And I just think that he needed a change of scenery. The Sharks have been, you know, Doug Wilson hasn't been disingenuous at all. He said, we want to get younger. And not that Jason Demers is an old guy. You know, what is he, 26 or 27? But Dillon represented an opportunity to get a little younger, to get bigger, to get a left-handed shot. The Sharks have been blessed, I guess you could say, because the right-handed shooting defenseman is a valuable commodity in the league. They had plenty, and they were able to move one of them. So I think it's one of those deals that could really work out for both teams, and there aren't always that many of them in the league. More often than not, somebody gets the wrong end of a transaction. But Dillon's got a fresh comes here with a great attitude and and really wants to make his mark. And I think he feels like maybe he was buried a little bit in the Dallas situation, and they didn't maybe have the trust in him that the Sharks now do. So I think it could really work out for both of them, having a change in scenery, and the Sharks get a player with some different elements. In Dylan's case, a big man who can really skate.
And final thought for you, and that is on Antti Niemi, who's going to be getting a lot of work here as Alex Stalock remains out on the sidelines. Seems like numbers-wise, he's done the job. Has he been what the Sharks have needed him to be so far this year?
Well, he's stolen a game here or there, probably not as many as he would like. But, I think he's been up and down. He started the year with a shutout in the very first game. And as I say, he's won some games for us as well. Is he at the top of his elite Antti Niemi goaltending ability? It hasn't been that way every night, but he's probably going to get the majority of the work. In fact, there's quite a situation going on here today because, as you mentioned, Alex Stalock is still on injured reserve with a lower body injury. And Troy Grosnick, who came up and had that shutout in Carolina, he suffered an upper body injury at practice yesterday, and he cannot play tonight. And the Sharks have been unable to get a goaltender in from Worcester in the American League, partly because of the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday here tomorrow. It's virtually impossible to get an airline seat, let alone identify a player that you can get here in time for tonight's game. So Right now, the Sharks are scrambling to find a backup goaltender for tonight. They don't have anybody under contract that's in San Jose as of this hour that is able to dress, so I'm not sure what they're going to do.
And it might be one of those scenarios where they have to end up dressing somebody that they wouldn't otherwise, and maybe one
of
those.
Well, there is a viable alternative here tonight. Kelly Rudy is in town.
Yes, he is. Although, could he be on the Sharks bench and do color on the Flames broadcast? I don't know if that would be
If you ask Kelly, he absolutely could.
Yeah, if you ask.
And of course, he's a former Shark goaltending great, so he'd be very comfortable here in this building.
That's true. If there's one man who would deserve the exemption, it would probably be Kelly, right?
We could, the chant Rudy, Rudy could come up here tonight at SAP Center totally unexpectedly.
Yeah, and then just like the movie, you could comment on it, and all of a sudden he'd be hoisted up on his somebody's shoulders at the end.
Carried off the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff, Randy. Have a good telecast tonight. As always, really appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Pat.